Last week we talked about prayer, how our catechism reminds us that there's three attitudes that are fundamental for prayer: humility, trust, and perseverance. Of course, last week Jesus' parable was about perseverance, and the one thing I forgot to mention is that perseverance doesn't count unless we're actually praying, right? So we can persevere in not praying, that's not good, right? So the prerequisite for all of those things that we're trying, that we start, right? And then we bring that humility, the trust, and the perseverance. Of course, today's gospel really zeroes in on humility and prayer. It's fairly simple to see that that is what Jesus is admonishing his listeners to have, that attitude that the tax collector has, acknowledging his sinfulness, acknowledging his weakness, and really coming before the Lord with nothing but humility, saying, "Well, I don't deserve anything from you, Lord, but have mercy on me." You know, last year we also, around this time of year, we heard about different saints, and I thought we'd pick up that again, to let the saints teach us the lessons over the next couple of weeks. And when I think of humility and trust, first, of course, we think of Jesus, who, of course, emptied himself and trusted in the Father when he gave his life for us, that we might have life. But other than Jesus, I think no one sums up those two words better than St. Thérèse of Lisieux, St. Teresa of the Little Flower. She's one of the saints that many of us know at least a little bit about her. But when you think about it, not much happened in her life. She was born in 1873 in a small town in Normandy, France. And when she was little, when she was 4 years old, her mother died. She was the youngest of five daughters, so they were all raised by their father, Louis. And she desired nothing more than to enter the Carmelite monastery in town. And even when she was very young, she tried to get in. And at age 15, she was very insistent. And now this was against the law at the time. You had to be at least 16 to enter. And that particular monastery wouldn't allow anyone to enter until they were 21 years old. She begged to enter. She begged the Mother Superior. She even went all the way to Rome to ask the Pope to give her a dispensation. And the Pope said, "Follow the rules." But he did say that if the Lord wills it, he will make it happen. And it was shortly after that that she was actually admitted into the monastery. Her sister, older sister, had already entered as a nun. And in doing that, she was able to fulfill the deepest desire of her heart. Now, it wasn't long after that, only a few years later, that she died. She died of tuberculosis at the age of 24. So if you think about it, she entered the monastery at 15, 16, and disappeared from public life, not able to be seen by anyone outside of the monastery, and a few years later she died. She accomplished, in a worldly sense, almost nothing. And yet, she's one of the people that, throughout the world, people recognize her name. People know her story. It was only a few years after her death that she was canonized. It was in 1925, 28 years later, that she was named a saint by the church. So what happened in that time? Well, what happened was that her mother superior asked her to write her story. The story of her faith, really. And that's entitled The Story of the Soul, which is a very simple work. It was published after her death, and it really teaches a very simple lesson. It's about the path to holiness in everyday life. And it's because of this book that we know her. It's because of this book that she became a saint. It's because of this book that she is called a doctor of the church, one of the greatest teachers that we have. The simplicity with which she lays it out is something that astonished even the greatest of theologians. And many people began to pray for her intercession and would say that many miracles came about because of their prayers for her intercession. So that's why it all happened so quickly that she became so well known, such a beloved saint. As I mentioned, her life really defines or gives us a great idea of what humility and trust are about. I said those are foundational for our spiritual life, foundational for our life of prayer. If we want to come before the Lord, we need to have humility, we need to have trust. And for Saint Therese, you could say that was all she had. All she had to offer the Lord was her trust and her humility. The way she described her approach to God, she called it the little way. She would say often, well, I'm not capable of doing great things for God, but I can do small things, and I can do them with the greatest love. And really, she said, I think that's all that God is asking of me. And she would even say about her prayer, she would have a great humble attitude toward it. She said, all the complicated prayers that they give me to pray, they're fine, but they're not for simple souls. I can't follow them. I actually can't pray with them. And she would say, all I do is simply tell God what's on my heart, and He listens to me. Right? So she has this great humility. And we often think of humility as acknowledging our sins like the tax collector did, realizing that I'm not God, someone else is, and kind of humbling ourselves in that sense. And that's very true. That is what humility is. And yet, in St. Therese, we see that humility also involves a very different aspect. It involves not just lowering ourselves, but accepting the truth about God's will for us. Okay, we know St. Therese as the little flower, right? And she would call herself that because she'd say, well, in the garden of the Lord, there's many flowers. If we were all roses, the spring would be boring, right? That's why there's a variety of flowers, a variety of colors and hues. She said, I'm just a little insignificant flower. And yet, she loved that. She was one of the flowers in the Lord's garden. She accepted the truth that God willed that she be the most beautiful flower that she was able to be. And she accepted the truth that God loved her for that. Okay? So the point is that humility is not just lowering ourselves, but it's also realizing the great dignity that we have as being beloved children of God. Humility is compatible with the highest aspirations of humankind. St. Therese wanted to be a missionary. She wanted to be a priest. She wanted to be a teacher. She wanted to do all those great things. But she realized ultimately that her vocation was much more simple. It was simply to love. And she said, I always wanted to be a great saint. Even though I was only too aware of my own weakness and poverty. We say, well, anyone who says, I want to be a saint, aren't they being prideful and arrogant? Absolutely not. That's what God wants for them. And to be humble is to say, God loves me enough that He wants me to be holy. He wants me to be extraordinary. Even though, and even necessarily, the saint would be aware of their own weakness and poverty. Ironically, that's the key to becoming a saint. That's what made St. Therese as holy as she was. She was aware of her weakness and turning that over to a God whose love is so powerful and perfect, she was able to be turned into the great saint that she aspired to be. So humility can have the highest of aspirations when it's united to God. The second aspect, of course, was trust. And if there's anything that defines St. Therese and her approach to God is one of total trust. Right? She trusted, for example, that the door would be opened for her to enter into the convent, because that was the only thing she could see herself doing. And it was. Her little way that she described, she talked of as spiritual childhood, as being a child before God, totally abandoning herself, surrendering herself to God's care for her, just as if she were a little child in the Father's arms, totally helpless. And she knew that that was the basis of her relationship with God, that she had that total trust in Him. And that, of course, defined her prayer. She said, I just tell God very simply what I want and what I want to say. And He never gets tired of listening to the tales of my joys and griefs as if He hadn't heard them all before. How beautiful that is. She knows how little and insignificant her life is on one level. And yet, she trusts God enough to say that God cares about every little joy, every little sorrow of my life. She trusted too that her little acts of love, her little sacrifices and prayers were of great benefit. She said, this is what my prayer is like. I ask our Lord to draw me into the furnace of His love so that its effects can be felt by all those that I love. Right? Talked about the fuel in the furnace last week, right? She wanted to be the fuel thrown into the furnace so that the heat of God's love would be given to others. She trusted that her little acts in secret and hidden in the convent had a real effect on the other members of the mystical body of Christ, the church. Her relationship with God was based on that trust. Even when she was suffering with tuberculosis, which was more of a drawn-out agony than she had hoped, and she struggled with spiritual dryness and at times was tempted to desolation and despair, ultimately her trust in God endured to the end. She was able to profess her love. This is a conversation that she had with her sister while she was on her deathbed. Her sister asked her, what are you doing? You ought to try to sleep. And Therese said, I cannot, I'm praying. What are you saying to Jesus? I say nothing. I just love Him. So that total trust that she has. I don't need to convince God to love me in this moment. I don't need to say any prayers and any words that have been given to me. I'm just a little child in distress, content to be in my Father's arms. I say nothing. I just love Him. Beautiful example of humility and trust. There's one quote of Teresa's that reminded me so much of our first reading. This is the last point here. In Sirach, he said, the one who serves God willingly is heard. His petition reaches the heavens. The prayer of the lowly pierces the clouds. It does not rest until it reaches its goal. So remember the simple soul, Therese, who we now call a doctor of the church, one of the most respected teachers of our church's tradition. And this is what she said. Was it not in prayer that the saints and so many other famous friends of God found the secret of their wisdom? A scholar has said, give me a lever and a fulcrum and I will lift the world. Archimedes was not talking to God, so this request was not granted. But the saints really have obtained this privilege in all its fullness. The fulcrum God told them to use was Himself, nothing less than Himself. And the lever was prayer. Only it must be the kind of prayer that sets the heart on fire with love. This is how the saints in our day have lifted up the world, and that is how they will continue to do so till the end of time. Saint Therese, her little way is something accessible to us. The lever of prayer that moves the world. Let's learn that great humility and trust that we need by looking to St. Therese and her example. St. Teresa of the Little Flower, pray for us.